Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, February 11th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 7, the third paragraph, but it was not, through two paragraphs ending with, but that was over now. And we'll be commenting on both those paragraphs. Today's readers are Penina L. for the 12 Steps, Carol H. will be reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Kathy Jo P., Susan H., and Leslie M. The share ID for Sunday, February 10th, is 12,528, 12528, and for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 12,529. That's 12529. Our newcomer greeter for today is Janice P.M. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Penina L. to read the 12 steps.
Hi, thank you, Kathleen, for your service. I'm Penina L., and I am a very big overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to other human beings that the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Penina L. Carol H., would you please read the 12 traditions?
Good morning, Kathleen. This is Carol H., recovered in frigid northern Colorado. These are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to do service today.
And thank you, Carol H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 7, the third paragraph, but it was not, reading through two paragraphs ending with, but that was over now. We'll be commenting on both those paragraphs. And good morning, Kathy Jo, if you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathy Jo Pia, recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. But it was not, for the frightful day came when I drank once more. The curve of my declining moral and bodily health fell off like a ski jump. After a time, I returned to the hospital. This was the finish, the curtain, it seemed to me. My weary and despairing wife was informed that it would all end with heart failure during delirium tremens, or I would develop a wet brain, perhaps within a year. She would soon have to give me over to the undertaker or the asylum. They did not need to tell me. I knew and almost welcomed the idea. It was a devastating blow to my pride. I, who had thought so well of myself and my abilities, of my capacity to surmount obstacles, was cornered at last. Now I was to plunge into the dark, joining that endless procession of sots who had gone on before. I thought of my poor wife. There had been much happiness after all. What would I not give to make amends? But that was over now. I'm going to start off by saying that this disease took my dad at age 49. He died of a heart attack. 7 years ago, I felt exactly like this, and I was at complete bottom at 303 pounds. And I truly wondered if I would make it to 50, only that was 3 months away. But I wanted my birthday cake. And it didn't matter that relationships were severed and that most days I felt like I was in hell in my brain and in my heart. I still needed more bites of food, and the time bomb was clicking, and I knew that I would end up like my dad. And I can't say what happened, but thank God I came back to these rooms desperate, where it talks about being hospitalized, and I was in that place. Returning to the hospital, needing that help. I can tell you now that I am down 112 pounds, and on my gratitude list a couple days ago, I said that I am so grateful that God has made tiny changes in my personality, my psychic change, the way that I approach life. It might be a tiny bit more than tiny. But as I said that, tears were going down my face because I feel so grateful for those changes and how God is molding me. I embrace when people in this program remind me that I'm a baby. Bill Wilson did not have emotional sobriety. I believe it was for 20 years. And I truly believe by continuing to work this process that God is going to continue to mold me and shape me to be a new woman and that I can be free. I was terminated from a job this past week after being there for 4.25 years. Prior to that, I had never been anywhere longer than 2.5 years. And I claim the recovery in this process that I lasted 4 years and 3 months. And I did not lose my job due to personality problems. It was due to them relooking at things. And I am just so grateful how God is helping me approach this and get through this and relying on Him. And I just am so grateful to all the fellows that put their hands out and let me know that I can make it to the other side and that God will continue to shape me and mold me so that I can be free. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Kathy Jo P. Okay, so we are open for who would like to share on those two paragraphs on page 7, the third paragraph.
Susan H.
Wait, say those names again, sorry.
Susan H.
Okay, Susan H. And who else?
Janet E.
Janet E.
Penny C.
Penny C. Jumping
Janice
guys.
PM.
Ron, PM.
Here I go jumping. Janice PM.
And who was after Janice?
Roz G.
Roz G. Okay. One more person want to jump in there?
Jordan L.
Is that Jordan L?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, that's a good lineup. So I have Susan H., Janet E., Penny C., Janice PM, Roz G., and Jordan L. So go ahead, Susan H.
Good morning. This is Susan H. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Ohio. I'm very grateful today. this place where he was felt cornered at last was at least approaching the gift of desperation. It was a seriously painful place for me, but one I need to revisit every morning in meditation. I need to admit, remember, and believe to my core, to concede to my innermost self that I am powerless over food. My life is unmanageable. In these paragraphs, Bill is facing the grim facts as had to happen. He was living in misery and resignation. I must remember that place and own it, but I don't have to live there anymore. I'm so grateful to live with a higher power now, depending on the unwavering love to have my back and the directions in the big book to show me again and again how to access that power and that love. I am just very grateful for what I've been given and for the place I live now. I'm just overcome with gratitude that I don't have to live that way anymore. So for today, just a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I will pass.
And thank you, Susan H. Janet E., you're up next, followed by Penny C.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Janet E. from Cuenca, Ecuador. And I've just recently started calling in and speaking live on these meetings. So grateful to be a part of this beautiful recovery group. So in this Bill's story, it's been painful to read because all the high resolve, next time I'll manage better, remorse, horror, hopelessness, agony, all these painfully descriptive words of this descent into just complete desperation. But here I'm starting to feel some relief because here he's nearing the end. He's at the bottom of the curve. There just isn't a lower place to go. And so, yeah, there's that desperation. And what's next is to say, yeah, I'm powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. And my life certainly was. And I moved to Ecuador. I'm from Minneapolis originally, and moved a year and a half ago to teach English, and I'm retired here now. And my thought was, I won't eat in Ecuador. I'm going to move south of the equator, and I live this fabulous expat life. I won't eat there. And what did I do here? I ate here. It brought me to my knees once again, and higher power connected me with people in OA that happened to be listening to this phone meeting called Vision for You, and might I consider that? And the rest is just an incredibly grateful story of finally finding recovery. And, you know, I'm a little over 90 days of clean, clear, beautiful abstinence. And in this book now in a new way, and so grateful. So happy to be here. I'm happy that Bill is going to find, I know what's happening next. And but I don't ever want to forget the pain of that loneliness and despair. And remember thinking, you know, I don't want to kill myself, but boy, it would sure be okay if I didn't exist on the planet anymore. I don't ever want to forget that feeling. So very grateful, and I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Janet E. So Penny C., you're up next, followed by Janice P.M.
Good morning. This is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area. This paragraph that talking about the frightful day came when I drank once more in the, you know, the declining moral and bodily health that fell off like a ski jump reminds me that when I first came to OA, having been a leader in one of the national weight loss clubs where you go and, as we say, weigh and pay, and having experienced the moral and physical decline in that program after having been a leader, no less, and setting myself up on a pedestal that, you know, and telling that group week after week, I'll never be fat again. And there I was with all of my weight back on and more. And I went to my first OA convention many years ago, and I went to a workshop, and the woman said, you know, this big book is full of promises, but it's full of warnings also. Heed the warnings. If you want to stay in recovery, heed the warnings. And for me, who, by the grace of God, only by the grace of God, who've been abstinent for many, many years, this is the warning. The frightful day can come. I'm not immune to the frightful day returning if I don't keep in fit spiritual condition, and if I begin to get into complacency. Oh, what a terrible psychological place to be. I've experienced that once big time, where I didn't think I needed OA, that I thought I could just, you know, I learned all I needed to learn. This was many years ago while in program. And thank God that, you know, I God said, get back to those meetings, Penny. You know, this isn't good. You know, this is a disease. You learned about this disease. You learned that it's cunning and baffling and powerful. You need not to think you've made it, that you've graduated, that you've, you know, you've done all you need to do. And so I'm going to remember this, that Bill W. was saying that he thought the goose hung high. He thought everything was wonderful, and surely everything was going to continue to be wonderful. But the frightful day returned, and I'm going to remember to take that warning. Thank you.
And thank you, Penny C. Thank you. Janice P.M., you're up next, followed by Roz G.
Well, thank you, Kathleen, for your service. And this is Janice P.M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. But it. What is he talking about? Do I think like him? Oh, did I think like him? talking about self-knowledge. I tried every means to know about the disease, like Bill. Oh, he thought it was all, he was all set now because he learned about the problem from Dr. Silky. And, you know, I did too. But, you know, the progression of my disease still went on. I was just a smart, compulsive overeater, fat woman. Smart, imagine a smart, fat, fat woman. I don't know what that proved. But anyway, so I really, no matter what desire I had to not eat, I could do that temporarily. That's why it says what did he do? The frightful day came when he drank once more. And that's not relapse. That's just being abstinent from alcohol or whatever substance triggers my allergy. And there we go again. And I thought I knew everything. And I still thought, gee, I really, my despairing time was in 2005. And that was after many decades. You know, still coming back to OA, thinking, oh, I got this now, because I still had a method. I still said, my husband will get me diet pills. You see, I was still in the pride, my self-pride. And that was the big problem, was my ego. I'll be able to do this, even though I knew I could stop temporarily, but I couldn't stay stopped. And then I went to the PenFen, relying on outside sources. I was so obstinate that I was going to fix this thing. And, of course, you know, it gets worse. It's like, you know, this is a progressive disease. We know that. I never knew of anybody in 30-odd years that came back to OA and said, you know what, you don't need this program. I got the answer. Well, nobody, I haven't heard of that, so maybe there is, but not if you're a real compulsive overeater. And, yeah, did I have real problems? Sure I did. I had heart problems from the PenFen. I started to get diabetes. Yeah, but that those consequences didn't frighten me. For a little while, you know, you do the diabetic diet. So all this information that I found and I paid for did not change me, did not give me any transformation to know how to keep stopped. It just didn't. And then I saw a particular, sure. And it's all about, I knew I couldn't stop, but I was still, my pride was so big that I'm going to be able to find that. And of course, I have not until I found and did the 12 steps. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Janice PM. Roz G., it is your turn, followed by Jordan L.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. And I really didn't think I was going to share this morning because I'm not the low, and I'm outside walking, so sorry for the background noise. Not the low, bottom eater that I've heard over the years, like, you know, people who weigh 400-500 pounds. And I don't want to share every day. You know, I want to try to monitor myself and, you know, give other people a chance, but it was kind of silent, so I'll chime in. For me, I can relate to emotional bottoms. I was too much of a compulsive exerciser to allow myself to get very, very heavy, but still I was busting out of a size 16, and that was, you know, very heavy for me being 5'4". But still, you know, I've heard people who are different, but I was emotionally bankrupt. I had suicidal ideation. I didn't want to live. I was depressed all of the time, looking to others to save me, to help me. Just lousy. And it was scary. And my kids, you know, I'd go to the library and, well, we were poor. So I'd go to the library as our source of entertainment, rent videos, put them on for the kids, and go lie down in my bed. And just, it was all me, myself, and I. And recently, I've been doing some decluttering in my home. I've been on a medical leave due to shoulder surgery, and looking through lots of pictures, wondering, you know, which ones do I need and which ones do I not need. Getting on the computer and deleting pictures, or, you know, separating, blah blah blah. I can look at those pictures and know when I had phony smiles, wearing black clothes, standing next to my thin sisters who were in colorful clothes, trying to hide the fat on my body. You know, those are how I can relate to these two paragraphs. Being very depressed, being all about me, myself, and I. And I love what I heard in the previous share. All the exercise, all the diets did not change me. They may have changed my body size for a few days, but they did not change anything about me emotionally. Today I experienced emotional sobriety, even with all of the things that come to me, because life happens. Some days I'm on the mountaintop, some days I'm in the valley. I happen to be on the mountaintop now, but I know that the valley's coming, but I have the steps to carry me through those times. Thank you, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Okay, so just a reminder, we're on page 7, the third paragraph, but it was not reading through two paragraphs ending with, but that was over now. And we're going to take Jordan next, and after Jordan, we'll be ready for some more people who want to share. So if you want to be ready for that, and go ahead and Jordan L.
Good morning, Kathleen. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. So this paragraph, huh? This self-knowledge thing. Man, I really did. I really thought I had the answer. I had gotten entirely abstinent in 2014, sort of not on my own. There was one lady that I was talking to who was in OA, but I had really found it. You know, like I've dealt with this disease since I can remember. I've been overweight since I can remember. and I really thought that I had found the answer. I was through with sugar forever. I did not want it in my body anymore at all. But it was not, for the frightful day came when I drank once more. and this paragraph, like as it goes on, it is really sad. It brought tears to my eyes a little bit, actually. Because I relate so much with Bill these days, but it goes on and it talks about like these very sad things, right? It being the end, my capacity to surmount obstacles, I was cornered at last, plunged into the dark, joining the endless procession of thoughts who had gone on before. Because there was nothing before this, you know what I mean? Like, Bill is at a point where he is completely and totally, like, and he knows it. He's beyond human aid, man. Like, he's dealing with the best doctor for the drunks in the entire world. And this guy is telling him, I got nothing for you. Like, this is it, man. what a lonely place to be, you know? At the end of the rope, like complete and total beyond human aid. There's not a soul in this entire planet that can do anything for me. That's a pretty sad place to be. And I'm just going to leave off there. So thanks for joining me this morning, guys. That's all I got.
And thank you, Jordan L. All right, who else would like to share on these two paragraphs?
Dorita P. Ida A.
I got Patty, Dorita.
Kat K.
Ida, Kat K.
Anne Marie M.
Anne Marie M.
Wendy M.
Wendy M. Okay. So I think I missed a few initials, but I have Patty T, Dorita P, is it? Ida A, Kat K, Anne Marie M, and Wendy M. So go ahead, Patty T.
Hi, everybody. Happy Monday morning. This is Patty T from Southern California, recovered by the grace of God today. And, you know, as I was reading this, I actually read this yesterday. I was looking through it. And all of these very sad awakenings, right, are going on. And then he says, It was a devastating blow to my pride. I, who had thought so well of myself and my abilities, of my capacity to surmount obstacles, was cornered at last. That is the essence of my disease. My disease, that is the seed of my disease. You know, it's in the mind, and the seat of it is my ego, because I keep thinking that I can take care of this. It's my story. It's every time I would pick up the food again, it was, I can handle this. I've got this. I can do it. I'm a smart, educated woman. You know what? And no matter how many times I found myself in the double X section of the dress shop, or no matter how many times, you know, I looked at my body with self-loathing, no matter how many times, you know, I looked at that box of completely eaten donuts and how sad it made me, I still thought I had this. And even now, after he's even saying, you know, I almost welcome the idea that it was over, that I was about to die or be institutionalized. And still, his pride, he was devastating to his pride. And that was me. I just didn't understand what humility was. I just didn't understand what God-reliance was, what other thinking was. I just didn't get it until I had to get to my real bottom. And I don't know how I got there. I think I had to eat my way there, honestly. But when I got there, I didn't know it was there. All I knew was that I couldn't do it myself anymore. My ego had been smashed, just like that idea that I will ever be able to eat like normal people. And that's what I took from that. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Patty T. And so Dorita P., you're up next, followed by Ida A.
Yes, hi. Thank you for your service. My name is Dorita P., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be in a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody, so I'm really grateful to be here. Yes.
Dorita, we're having a little trouble hearing you.
Okay.
That's better.
Is this better? Okay. Okay.
That's better.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. So this second sentence we read, the curve of my declining moral and bodily health fell off like a ski jump. I can really relate to that. And I went back and read the first step out of the AA 12 and 12. And it just came to me that, you know, that's what's missing at my face-to-face meetings. We're not talking enough about this hopelessness. And when I came in, I don't know, about 18 years ago, when I came in, that's what they were talking about. They were talking about the hopelessness and the despair and, you know, the doctor's opinion, the allergy of the body, and the obsession of the mind, you know, our problem. And you know, they were talking about it so much so that I felt like, you know, if I left the meeting and went to McDonald's or something, you know, I would die right then. You know, they talk so much about the fatality of the disease. And I really believed that I was going to die. And I'm really grateful that I was desperate. I think the last person who shared talked about, you know, hitting bottom and being desperate. And then I just lastly wanted to talk about just
We lost you.
I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead. We lost you first.
Okay. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. That's funny because the phone was kind of moving. Thank you. It was a devastating blow to my pride. And yeah, you know, so, you know, and I think that's what my problem was. But I was just so desperate. I was so desperate that I don't think really pride got in my way, but I see pride getting into a lot of people's way, and you know it's pride that keeps people from like humbling themselves, or you know I'm just really grateful that I was just so desperate that you know, and it says in the book, and I'll just close with this. It says in the book that you know alcohol was a great persuader, or like the pain. And they say pain is the greatest motivator. I don't know if that part is in the book, but I just know that pain is the greatest motivator, and I'm grateful that I was just in enough pain. So thank you for letting me share, and thank you so much for your service.
And thank you, Dorita P. Ida A., you're up, followed by Kat K. Ida A., star one to unmute, please.
Hi, let me try that one again. Good morning. Ida here, grateful compulsive overeater from Northern BC. And thanks so much for letting me participate in this meeting and to claim my chair. I was so off on life. You know, I think I thought regarding life, or life well lived, I'll say, self-knowledge was the point, you know, the end game. Whoever grew the most self-knowledge won, and I was all about the game. And I also thought it was about ego production. That's what I'll say. I thought the point was to produce a healthy ego. And again, turned out I was wrong. It's about ego reduction. Who knew? And I'm paying attention to that now. And food. I've been cornered for decades. But I was not willing to admit that I was cornered. And my capacity to surmount these obstacles, I just kept being devastated and getting up again and doing it again and doing it again. The same thing again and again. And, you know, food brings out all of my character defects. I think that part of my heart that's open to love gets pretty ugly in the food. It gets fear grows. Anger grows, judgment grows. And today I know that food is just a vehicle to keep me alive, to do the will of what the Creator has in mind for me. And if I pick up something I'm not meant to have, the ugly grows. And so that's what I saw in this reading. I don't want to be in this game anymore. I really like the idea of stepping. And I feel like the Creator's selling me that. Ida, step away from the game. It's not yours to play. That's what I hear. Ego reduction. Hey, thanks for letting me share. And thanks, everybody, for being here. Have a wonderful Monday. I pass.
And thank you, Ida A. Kat K., you're up next, followed by Anne Marie M.
Hi, Kat K., recovered compulsive overeater. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. I'm grateful to be on the line this morning. I tried dialing in at the start of the meeting, and it said, you've been locked out. And my mind went to, oh, my gosh, should I do something to offend someone that they would lock me out of the meeting? You know, the ego coming in and feeling so self-important. And I was like, no, something has to be wrong. So I dialed in 10 minutes later and I was able to get on. So I just, it just humbled me and brought me back to where my mind can go and how having higher power present to remind us that, to remind me in that pause that where my mind goes is not the reality, and we can't differentiate the truth from the false sometimes. And I need to just pause, and God is in that pause always. And it's sometimes really, really hard for me to pause, but, I'm just learning how self-knowledge is and what we've read these couple paragraphs today is not what serves me. It's taking the pause and listening for the inspiration in the moment, because my immediate reaction, for the most part, I would say 99% of the time, is not the right action to take. It's not me being my best self. So I have to remind myself day in and day out how important that pause is, and how important that that part of the step, working the steps in 10, 11, and 12, and doing 10 every day, and giving service in 12. But that 11 is just as important, especially in living all the principles in our daily affairs. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you all for being here, and thanks. Have a great day.
And thank you, Kat K. So Anne-Marie M., you're up next, followed by Wendy M.
Thank you. This is Anne-Marie M., recovered in South Carolina. Great meeting, and thank you so much. I remember when I would have a binge after being, I was a chronic relapser and knew so much. I know so much. I didn't realize, I still know. I know so much. And I remember picking up that light and thinking, just being devastated and thinking it's never going to end. And I can feel the horror that I think what Bill was feeling. Just like, this is never going to end. I'm doomed. I'm going to die like this. And, I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful to be abstinent and recovered today. And that I can relate to this man from 1939 that I don't have anything in common with, but I can relate so much to his feelings and what he went through. So that's all I want to say, and thank you so much for the meeting. I appreciate it. Pass.
Thank you, Anne-Marie M. And Wendy M., you are up next, and after Wendy, we'll be able to take a couple more names.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you for your service. So what's interesting to me about this is that I'm looking at, we're almost at the gift of desperation here. And thank God, after 15 years of being in OA and, saying I was abstinent, but eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but that doesn't count because it's not candy. And then finding myself in the closet just shoving white flour in my mouth, like, uncontrollably, and saying I'm abstinent and sponsoring probably, 6 to 8 people. We know what we know when we know it, right? So, 2.5 years ago, I was able to get this gift of desperation. I was out of ideas, and I was willing to take direction. But the line that I love the most here, just really resonate with it, is I knew and almost welcomed the idea. It's like, I know I'm in trouble, and I'm just waiting, for somebody to just say, you're really in trouble. Like, hearing that was so satisfying. It was like naming my experience. Like, I welcomed the idea, as opposed to, like, I can't do this, I won't do this. It was like, I welcome it. Like, I know. You know, it's also like, for me, it's like, I'm on to myself. I know last night when I had some nuts that I can't eat nuts. You know, that's what I found out last night. It's like, no, can't do that. What about weighing and measuring my fruit or not doing that? Nah, I'm on to myself. I know when I'm out of alignment with God. I know when I'm out of alignment with myself. So I wanted to say that. And then, and also like the idea of, I almost welcome the idea. It's like a relief to know this, right? Like when I met with my vision sponsor 2.5 years ago, it was a relief when she said, you're going to be entirely abstinent. That, you know, oh my God, what a relief. You mean I don't have to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and say I'm abstinent? That's awesome. This is great news, you know. And then the thing, and then the other piece here is obviously we're about to surrender and give it up altogether. And, you know, I can, the way I used to pick up the food is how I can pick up emotional behaviors. Like, and God makes it so. Like, God makes it that my emotional binging that I do, because I can put the food down, life comes up, and then I can just binge on people, right? I can try to get an effect from people. You know, I can try to have a whole bunch of ideas about how I can get the effect other ways. And, you know, God makes it so that it's not working. Like, every time I go to try to pick up an emotional binge, just like the food, it never works. And, you know, it keeps saying in the book, God makes it so. God makes it that it won't work, that I will feel itchy and scratchy and not okay and out of alignment every time I try to control other aspects of my life, every time I've tried to get an effect from other people, places, and things. So, you know, just more inventory to do, and I thank you all. Thanks for letting me. I pass.
Thank you, Wendy M. And we have time for one more share, if anyone would like to take it.
Jean J.
Jean J. Go ahead, Jean.
Thanks. I am new to the psychic change, 3 months in, after a lifetime of hell in this disease. And generations before me, I come from a long line of large ladies in print dresses. And it's so good this morning to be reminded. Of course, I can touch it because I'm just so fresh in. I remember day after day, morning after morning, waking up in drugged, hungover from my food binges. And I'm just glad that the pain that, well, you know, there's no mistakes in our higher powers world. And so we somehow managed to hang around after a fashion in my case. And of course, we can count on the pain to never let up until we go, okay, I give, here, have me. And I'm just so grateful. I didn't quite realize the miracle would be as miraculous as it is. Food in black and white and life starting to unroll in color. And beside myself with joy, you know, I have all the character defaults that I go to. But I have the clarity of mind now with clean abstinence to hear direction and the willingness to follow it. The desire to follow it. I'm very grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Okay, thank you, Jean J. Does anyone want to take a 1 minute share?
Hi, this is Mary Lee Arin. Okay. I'll take a 1 minute.
Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
This is Mary Lee R. and Eugene Organ in Recovery Just for Today. And I just want to say everybody rocks on this meeting.
It sounds like we lost something there, Mary Lee. It probably looks like we have run out of time. Sorry, there's some sort of technical glitch that just happened. And if we can get Kathleen O back up here by pressing *1, I think we might be okay, unless she got bumped.
So this is Mary Lee R.
I'm,
Can you hear me?
Mary Lee, yeah, we're going to have to probably pass, though, because of the time. I'm so sorry. There was a computer glitch, and now we've lost the time. Kathleen, I'm going to defer to you.
Okay, thanks, Melanie. And sorry about that, Mary Lee. We did hear you say that everyone rocks, so that was a nice ending to the meeting. Okay, so I just want to thank everyone who shared this morning. Special thanks to our readers, Panina L., Carol H., Kathy Jo P., Susan H., and Leslie M., Team Monday. And we're now going to close the reading with from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Susan H., would you please read A Vision for You?
Thank you. Thanks for your service. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless and keep you until then.